Hello, and welcome to the podcast where we look at the Bible, theology, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, tradition, and we ask, what do I believe? Why? And is that even in the Bible? What does it all mean, anyway? Yes, welcome back to What Does It All Mean Anyway? And this is part two of the introductory episode, Who the Heck Am I and Why Should You Listen to This Podcast Anyway? And I'm about 25 in the story right now. I've been going through my life, did a quick overview. The TLDL version, I called it Too Long, Didn't Listen. There's about a 5-minute summary of my life story and who I am at the beginning of the first part, which I recommend you listen to or watch if that's your preferred format of consumption. So I'm about 25 in the story right now. Me and my wife at the time are living in some apartments, and our next door neighbor is really, really into me. And, I'm continuing my indiscretions, being flirty and chatty and just having inappropriate conversations of a sexual nature, sending lewd photos, things like that. Just kind of leading each other on. This went on for quite a while. Now, my younger son, Justin, he had GERD when he was little, and I don't remember what happened in this particular incident. He was about 3 months old when, my wife and her mom had to go with Justin to the hospital. My father-in-law took Aiden, our oldest, to go watch him. I stayed home to sleep because I worked nights and I was scheduled to work that night, and it was too quick to get out of it. And as soon as my wife was gone, my neighbor just started bombarding me with photos and propositions. Mind you, this is the first time she had sent anything my way. It had always been the other way as far as photos go. And this is where God kind of steps into the story, and he saved me from myself. He kept things from getting a whole lot worse. When I got those photos, you know, her face was twisted and sick. Like, I couldn't even look at it. God was showing me how demonic the whole situation was. She literally looked like some kind of monster when I received those photos. I obviously, thank God, declined her offers. And that relationship, I guess, if you could call it that, basically ended in that moment, because God stepped in and wanted me to see how ugly my sin is, and the whole situation just, making her look all possessed and stuff. I don't tell that part of the story a lot, but it is something I'm super thankful for, that when we are at our worst, when I was at my worst, God stepped in and did his best to save me from myself, which is what he always seems to do over and over and over again. And so she was out of there sometime shortly after that. It was a few months down the road. I'm trying to think here. Okay, yeah. So it was a few months down the road after that she was out of there. We transferred to a different apartment. And shortly after that, we moved out to McCleary, where, you know, things were fine for a while. I was still working security, working the same job. So, you know, I found my way back into the same old patterns. Back to Craigslist, back to hookup sites, back to finding people to you know, talk to and be chatty with, and just, I think it was more for the attention and more for wanting to feel like needed and attractive than any kind of sexual thing at that point. So. We lived there for most of a year, and then we actually moved in with my parents for a short stint, and found out that we were pregnant with what would have been our third child. We were going to have a daughter, Rachel. And then at 27 weeks, Rachel was stillborn. And, like, I didn't know this at the time, but, my wife had started to self-medicate, and, you know, I dove into my stuff, even more, you know, regular, consistent, intake of pornography, you know, started at that point, just a constant inflow of garbage as the gap between us got bigger and bigger. And, you know, it's a statistic, and I know that no one wants to be a statistic. They want to beat the odds. But with everything that was already going on that I'd been doing from since before we even got married, you know, I spiraled into that stuff just head first, and due to grieving, you know, the man's not always allowed to grieve. They're, you know, they're supposed to be strong for their wife so that she can grieve, and it definitely took its toll on my heart and on my mind. You know, that's something, like, it still bothers me some days. It's something you never get past. You never really get over that sort of thing. But, so we moved to, Tumwater to, you know, try and get things going, again with us and, to get out of my parents. And, things were okay for a while. And, you know, they're always okay for a little while after I do a thing. It's 2, 3 months, 6 months sometimes before I would start back in. But eventually, you know, those habits would just creep back in. And so a friend of hers, or, you know, used to be friend of hers, not anymore. You'll find out why here in a minute, moved in with us because she needed somewhere to be. She was going through divorce. And come to find out, she was doing the same sorts of things as me, except that she was actually meeting up with guys and, you know, doing her thing, or bringing guys back home, not into our place, but, you know, to her house when her husband was at work. And so that had been going on for a while. And just having that kind of spirit and that kind of energy in my home definitely fed into my habits. And, you know, I dove headfirst back into what I was doing, ultimately leading to, you know, sending her some pictures. And, you know, trying to get some attention from her. And obviously, the wife kicked her out, which was good. I'd been trying to get her to leave for a while because I was picking up on her energy. I was super aware of the fact of what having her there was doing to my headspace. But, you know, my wife thought I should just be responsible for my actions and control myself, and that it shouldn't be an issue. Which, you know, there's truth to that, but you know, the Bible says, you know, repentance is running the opposite direction. If sin is here, you're over here. Proverbs says that a man who throws hot coals in his lap and expects to not be burned is a fool. And this was definitely a hot coals situation, but we weren't making any kind of decisions biblically, at least at that point. The wife at the time definitely wasn't at all. She hadn't for years, and you didn't really want to hear it justifiably because of what I'd be what I'd been doing. Who was I to try and, you know, quote the Bible or give any kind of advice on right living when, you know, I had been cheating since before we were married. We lived there for a year and a half. We did pretty well. Got a new job, started working at Verizon, and then we moved back down to Centralia, where I'm from, into an apartment. It was the first place we lived that wasn't run by the state. So this was I was pretty proud. We were actually paying rent and paying all of our bills, and we didn't need any assistance. I felt like I was finally being a decent husband. All the while still, texting people I had worked with at previous jobs and still doing the Craigslist thing. I just didn't know how to stop. There was seemingly no way out for me. So we moved out of there, over into Chehalis, into a townhouse. And I felt like I was living my dream finally. We had a garage, we had an upstairs. It was everything I had ever wanted. But the goal was to, you know, never do it again, have a nice clean start, and have the life we always wanted to have. But yet again, I ended up texting my old boss. She had left. She had left the company only a few months ago, and we were kind of flirty and stuff on the job, and so I don't know why I can't. I'm far enough removed from that stuff now. I can't explain my headspace to you, but you know, it was discovered. And, we agreed it was time for her to go. I told her that I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know that I would ever change, and that I didn't want to hurt her anymore. And, she agreed, and she packed up, and she moved away. So, I then spiraled into drinking far too much and eating way too much, like a full appetizer sampler and two meals after work every night. I would go to Applebee's and consume, you know, five people's worth of food and a couple pitchers of beer. And this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks because I didn't know what else to do. And I mean, all the while, give me just a second here. Oh, pardon me. You never know when you're going to sneeze. And I'm not sure I know how to edit that stuff out yet. So, So I had started while we were still in Olympia, actually, going back a little bit here and looking at my notes. I had started studying Orthodoxy. So I was super active in a couple metal forums on Facebook, Christian Metal Alliance, you know, Christian Underground, some stuff like that. Where I, you met a bunch of Catholics, started talking to them about that kind of stuff, and I was really into Orthodox theology for a while. I was never gonna go be a Catholic or anything, but I did consider actually becoming Eastern Orthodox for about 6 months. That's kind of the path, that I was on. Interestingly enough, that was, you know, that's just kind of the background of the stuff that was going on up in Tumwater. I always continued to have this duality where part of me was interested in God, and I would have always stayed in touch with the spiritual aspect of myself. There's never a time in my life when God hasn't been there and I haven't been interested in seeking after God, but that has always been alongside, you know, the sexual issues. And, so back up into Chehalis. So I was in this big, big house by myself, with no one, you know, put an ad out on Craigslist, started talking to a couple different women. Actually just talking. I wanted a friend more than anything else because I was alone. And, you know, the sexual element was part of it, but more I was just talking. I was trying to find someone to be a friend so that I didn't feel alone. And so at this point in time, I started talking to Trisha, who is now my wife. I was talking to her for a little while, and I had also started talking to this other girl who I had thought, you know, the goal was is that she was going to be like a girlfriend or maybe even something more than that one day, because she was a believer with a sordid past like myself. She was super involved in her church, and I was like, okay, this is good for me. This is someone I can share my faith with, and I can finally have a Christ-based marriage. You know, so while that was going on and I was chatting this girl up and spending time with her, we even went to the movies once and spent a couple like whole days together a couple times. I was messing around with Trisha, who's now my wife. So you talk about a low point in your life. You know, I am a glutton alcoholic at this point who is sleeping with one person while dating another. All the while, you know, trying to find my way out, trying to get back to God, because I knew all along that that was where I belonged. I had no idea what the path back was gonna look like. And so me and Trisha told me she was into me, that she had feelings for me. This was about 2.5-3 months after we were talking consistently, and we'd been fooling around. And, you know, I told her that I didn't know how to have that kind of relationship with someone like her. It wasn't what I wanted at the time. She wasn't religious at all. You know, kind of sort of into witchcraft a little bit. And I wasn't sure I wanted that in my life in a serious way, but I wanted to keep her around because, you know, we were having fun. But she didn't want to talk to me if that was going to be our relationship. You know, things fizzled out with the other girl shortly after that. You know, ultimately, I had determined that we were just, you know, too different as far as our opinions on things. And, you know, I thought she was boring and she thought I was crazy. And it just, you know, didn't work out. So around that time, I was playing Pokemon Go, if you remember that, and I was driving around, and our church, the church I attend now, has a Pokestop in their parking lot. So I'm going around, whatever. I pull in to catch a Pokemon and, you know, get items and all that stuff, and God hit me. He slapped me in the face with a ton of bricks, and I had to stop right there and just pray. So, 8 o'clock at night, I pulled into a parking spot in front of the office, and I just prayed. And I went to church that week for the first time in probably 2.5 or 3 years at the church I grew up in. It felt like I had come back home. And God started teaching my heart for the first time in a long time. You know, I'd been studying Orthodoxy, and then you know, before that, considered myself a Baptist for about you know, about 12 years or so. And was, you know, more interested in in-depth Bible study and theology than actually having any kind of relational heart piece to knowing God. I'm all about knowing about God and knowing who God is here, and you know, making sure that the church looks righteous and all of that kind of stuff. I wouldn't say I was legalistic or judgmental. That's just not my personality, but kinda, you know, I was very much the you know, we don't watch Harry Potter because there's witches kind of fundamental in that way. And and then I started learning about grace, and I started learning that those who follow Christ, well, not follow Christ, those of us who look the most like Jesus are the ones who love the most and love best. And I wasn't sure I liked it at first. You know, I had always considered that kind of message milquetoast, wishy-washy. The grace and, you know, the grace and love guys, but where's sin and where's judgment? And you know, I don't know. God has started teaching my heart. I'm learning grace, learning love, and I still am. Definitely didn't fit in at first. And then, you know, my wife now, Trisha, she had been going to a church down the road for her that I recommended, just based on going online and, you know, reading their doctrinal statements and what they believe in and all that. And I said, you know, church A, B, and C would be good churches that aren't wacky you should go to. So that kind of tells you where I was at in the at the time, still a very kind of strict, this, this, and this is good teaching, and everything else should be avoided. And obviously, I've come around on that now, but that's where I was at the time. God did reach her through that, though. The pastor's wife from the church that they were attending actually came to her house to check up on her and check in with her and share the gospel. And me and Trisha started going to church together shortly after that, and then dating a little bit after that. And then here we are now, married for a little over a year. And so I'm on the worship team now at my church. I have been for, let me think, 2 years this Christmas, 3 years actually, I think. For a while. And it's pretty interesting. A lot of the time I still feel like I don't fit in. Shortly after doing the Orthodox thing, I went full opposite of that. And, through the guidance of my friend Josh, dove headfirst into the Reformed movement, which I still, most days, all things considered, consider myself Reformed, you know. So I'm into John Piper and Matt Chandler and all of those guys. So one thing I discovered over the past couple years, and we're an exception for the most part, because I understand the message now, and I understand what's being taught, and I wasn't in a place where I did in the beginning, so I started trying to write my own music, worship music. Obviously I've been writing metal for years, but because I saw that there was this dichotomy. Every church I had been to where I liked the music, I didn't like the teaching. And every church where I liked the teaching, I didn't like the music. So I call it the good music, bad word, good word, bad music principle. And it frustrated me for years. I never really felt like I quite fit in anywhere. I either like their music and don't like their teaching, or I like their teaching and I don't like their music. And I'm finally somewhere where I fit more or less when it comes to the things that are important. So That's kind of where I'm at now. When I was at my lowest point with my neighbor 8 years ago, God intervened and showed me how demonic it was. And, he kept me from physically cheating and just tearing my marriage apart. Worse than how it ended up ending. I can't even imagine how different things would have been, how much worse my life would have been had that happened. And then here we are, three and a half, four years ago now. It all kind of blurs together. But when I was at my lowest, I was a glutton, alcoholic, seeing two girls at once, God stepped in and he brought me home. He said, it is time to get back to where you started. It's time to come to me. And so the epitome of that was in, it was February 15th, I think, the day after Valentine's Day. Three years ago, when my ex called after court and told me that the divorce was final. So, granted, I'd been, I'd been seeing Trisha and stuff unofficially. We weren't dating for real or anything yet, but we were around each other a lot when this happened. And, the Bible says what God brought together, let no man tear asunder. Let no man separate, whatever your translation is. And, I just grew up to not believe in divorce. And, I continued to be hopeful that God would turn it around. And, when she called me and told me that the divorce was final, I literally felt my heart break. I've never felt anything like that in my life. I felt like my, physically felt my insides like tear open just from head to toe, and I screamed and I cried, and I cried out to God in that moment. You know, look what I've done to my life. I finally lost it all, and I have nothing left but you. And slowly turned around since then. Still up and down. I'm still up and down with pornography. That's a constant struggle. For those of you that don't know, it actually creates a dopamine cycle in your brain. It creates a short circuit path in your brain straight from your libido into your, like, the center part of your brain. It bypasses your prefrontal cortex, which is where logic and reason happens. So you lose your ability to reason yourself out of stuff, and you're kind of just on automatic. But God has delivered me, at least from my apparent need to reach out to these other people and try and have these inappropriate conversations. He sent someone into my life that knows everything I've ever been through and loves me anyway. And I have no desire to talk to anyone else or be with anyone else. And it's all because of him. Through my sin, through my darkest hour, through maybe not the best way to start a relationship, at least not the most godly way, he has put someone in my life who has been my rock. And I am thankful to him every day, waking up next to her, and every day going to sleep next to her. I just, I'm, give me a second here. I'm pretty emotional. I'm just at awe at how God has continued to take care of me in my life, even when I was furthest from him. When I was least deserving of his love is when he gave me the most grace, which is, of course, what grace is. I'm not getting what we deserve. Okay, so that's who I am. That is the terrible, sinful, awful mess that is me. And so next, so we're going to get to why should you listen to this podcast anyway? Well, I've been to hell and back multiple times in my life, and God has continued to work in my life through all of it. And, Now I have a wife who loves me way more than I deserve. You know, I will never live up to the kind of wife that she is. And, I have three kids that love me and two stepkids that don't hate me. So I'm, you know, I'm doing better than most as far as blessings go. And, you know, I grew up non-denominational, you know, in a church where we didn't really discuss tongues or end times or anything that's divisive, in order to be non-denominational and keep churches from splitting. We just don't talk about anything that causes division. That's who I grew up, you know, in Sunday school, like I said, learning the Bible. Then I was trained and baptized and discipled in a Baptist church where I got into Bible study, going to a Pentecostal church for a little bit in Olympia when we were up there. We went to Evergreen doing that for a little bit. So I was a little bit charismatic for a while. Then I studied Orthodox, and now I'm Reformed. So I've kind of studied the full gamut of biblical interpretation. Now, the past few years, I'm someone that's really into hermeneutics. As I continue my journey, I started when I was 25, when I started studying Orthodox, just trying to ask myself, what does the Bible actually say? What did the disciples believe? What was their faith? And just trying to be someone who follows Jesus the way the disciples did. And so I'm very into theology. I'm very into stripping away the tradition, especially, you know, of what they call the American gospel. You know, this is the Christian nation, we say, and all of that. And we get so confused with what it is to be American and our American freedoms, like, you know, gun rights and our Bill of and all the other Bill of Rights and things like that. And, you know, we confuse it for biblical Christianity, and it's not. It's just part of being American. And so I am trying to strip away, at least in my life and my heart and my mind, the American parts of, you know, what has become Christian belief in this country, and just get back to the Bible. You know, I'm trying to strip away traditional, literal misinterpretations, and I use more context and more hermeneutics. You know, we ask questions like, who wrote this book? Who did they wrote it to? And what issues are they addressing? You know, what reason was the book written? And we do that to ascertain the principles that are being taught, which sometimes aren't what they seem to be if we just use our 2020 knowledge, our modern kind of literal brains, and try and apply the scripture literally. We are going to be way off base if we don't look at the history. So I'm really trying to get into a more contextual way of reading the Bible and finding out what it really says. And so I think that you should listen, because, well, God has taken care of me. He's blessed me with an innately curious mind. I'm always learning, always studying, and maybe you're in a place where I'm at, where you want to know what you believe truly and why, and what the Bible says for real, and not just what you hear in a pulpit on Sunday. You know, a lot of us have a faith that is borrowed. We believe whatever our parents believed, or, you know, whatever our church believes. We just adopt their doctrinal statement as our own. And we never question it. And, you know, we never dig and we never flush out a faith and have a deeper understanding of our own of these things. And you know, that's fine if that works for you. But I'm very much into knowing what I believe, why I believe it, and then if it's in the Bible. And then if it's not in the Bible, obviously I have got to replace it with something that is, or remove it entirely. So I'm inviting you to come along with me on that journey where we are going to look at, we're going to look at things like God helps those who help themselves. We are going to look at things like don't judge me. We are going to look at, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And other ideas that are biblical or not biblical, but are thought to be biblical. And that's just the beginning of what we're going to do here at what does it all mean anyway? So thanks for listening and for watching if you're watching, and sorry for kind of stammering here at the end. I'm pretty emotional. My life story is not easy to get through when I think about all that God has done for me. So I hope you come back and hang out, and we can talk theology and stuff later and figure out what you believe and why, and if your beliefs are even in the Bible. So thank you, and I'll see you guys soon.